everyone. Welcome back to Internet Report, where we uncover what's working and what's breaking on the internet. And why? This week, we're talking about disruptions to services at Zoom, SAP Concur, Spotify, and Vanguard UK. We'll also keep you up to date with the latest global outage figures. I'm Barry Collins, and I'll be hosting today with the amazing Mike Hicks, Principal Solutions Analyst at Cisco Thousand Eyes. As always, we've included chapters in the episode description below, so you can skip ahead to the sections that are most interesting to you. And if you haven't already, we'd love you to take a moment to give us a follow over at Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you like to listen. Video conferencing service Zoom was unavailable for a period on April the 16th. What was the cause of this outage, Mike?
So the outage lasted around 2 hours. It was a global outage. This tells us a couple of things. So first of all, because it was global, it impacted everybody at the same time. Therefore, we actually can assume there's no connecting network issue itself. Now, what actually happened was people were unable to make connections to the system. So when you're trying to get to it, you're sort of getting the name itself couldn't be resolved. So straight away, we can see this is DNS. So if we think about how systems connect, the first thing you do is you actually look up a name. Even if that's embedded within the application itself, you're not typing in an IP address, you're typing in a name. And it actually failed to resolve. Because it couldn't actually resolve, meant it actually then didn't know its way to get to it. So if you think about how networks work, even though we're going to like a local point, everything is on that hop by hop basis. So we need to know how to get to our destination by understanding all these hops in between. Because it failed that DNS name meant nothing ever established in terms of actually making the connection itself. Now, when we actually started to investigate this, the errors we were getting back were NX domain, which is no domain exists. So it was an error coming back when trying to resolve it. But if you're actually looking at the authority, the top lane domain, everything was working. We could actually see that the name itself was there. What was happening was into the registries and the resolvers themselves wasn't actually being propagated. And what it turns out is actually a block that had been put on there. So what happened was, even though the data was there, it wasn't actually being propagated out. So when we're actually attempting to do our resolution to it, it was saying it doesn't exist because there's a block on that service itself. So therefore, the connection could never be established.
How can companies avoid DNS records errors, such as the one witnessed here?
There's a couple of things that's sort of going to occur. Now, one of the first things people are thinking of was this is certificate expiration. Now, obviously, that can be monitored and looked at those ones there. But what we were looking at here is by trying to identify or monitor the entire system itself. So that you had stuff in place to be able to look at your authoritative servers, so your top line domain stuff, to understand what was happening, as well then as understanding can things be resolved right through. So it really is a question of, again, we talk about the entire service delivery chain. It's understanding the components that go in and not just looking about, is your DNS system up? Is your name being propagated? But how is that being resolved around the place? So how are these different resolvers taking it in? And sort of understanding what's happening from that perspective as well.
From a Zoom customer perspective, was there anything they could have done to work around such an issue other than using an alternative video conferencing service?
It's going to be one of those depends questions. We talked about the fact we can actually resolve this name. If you happen to know the IP address, in some circumstances, you could have actually got around it. But unfortunately, the name itself, and we were doing these vanity metrics, these subdomains, so some of the crews are coming back when we actually want to load this or get this information. It's not written in as an IP address. It's written in as this name because it's actually sharing these IPs in the back end there. So unfortunately, although you might have actually been able to get to part of it, what you couldn't do was rely on or go through and do that search for each corresponding IP that sits underneath it. Now, if we're talking about a specific service, we've had this situation where you've had sort of a failure at that authentication level, that system in the front of it or sits in front, again, you know, a proxy service, you can bypass actually know the IP address. But because we're dealing with an application that's incredibly dynamic, you know, with the video conferencing stuff there, it means, I said, that we're going to have a lot of these name services sort of embedded within the code itself. The best thing that could have been done from a customer point of view was identify where that problem is occurring. You know, is it me or is it you type of situation? And then you can actually put your sort of mitigating plans into place or processes into place.
SAP Concur experienced a degradation in service on April the 16th. Here's Mike to explain the cause of this issue.
SAP Concur is a SaaS platform and it provides expense and invoice management services for businesses. Now, when we talk about degradation, what we're saying is a sort of breaking functionality. What we actually saw was this actually sort of impacted just one data center itself. And so therefore then the instances that were actually installed in that data center, which was US2. What happened was you could actually reach the front door. You could actually look to authenticate to the system or peer to authenticate the system. But what you couldn't then do was actually retrieve information. So you couldn't say run a sample report. You couldn't look to book travel.
You managed to define the fault domain by examining various layers of the test. Could you elaborate on why you took this approach and what you discovered?
When looking across this system, what we actually saw was that it was kind of intermittent. So we could see not all areas were impacted at once, and there wasn't any sort of follow the sun. So again, coming back to our iteration process, we can actually say it doesn't look like there's any commonality within the network itself. We did see the errors occurring at the HTTP level. So we're actually getting to that front door, but these were timeout service. So again, bringing that back to the network itself, there was no corresponding loss or high latency that would account for these timeouts occurring. As I said, we sort of saw everything right across the board. Now, SAP Concur actually confirmed themselves and actually put up on their status page that had impact to these services and then actually isolated down to the US2. But what we wanted to do was actually go further into it to understand the fault domain. Now, to do that, what we're looking to then do is to test sort of various things. I said about the authentication process, but also how can we retrieve information from the back end? So what we actually were able to do then was to actually look at what we call a transaction test. Now, this is where we start to do sort of various iterations on the back end, and it allows me to verify some of those processes. Now, we actually looked at that, so we could actually see the disruption at that HTTP level, so we know we're getting to the service itself. We saw the timeout. We could see no corresponding network issues, but then we actually started to look at things like increases in page load time when we're trying to retrieve various parts of information. That's when we actually start to see the failures. And from that point, then we could start to see some of the issues occurring there. This outage itself sort of was in two waves as well. So the first wave came around and we actually saw this degradation taking place, then it appeared to recover. And in fact, when we actually looked at the SAP Concur status page, it actually says problem was resolved itself when the incident team started to actually look at it. But then we saw like about another 2 hours later, we actually saw the same again, the same symptoms. It didn't at this point appear to impact the same services themselves, but it had exactly the same characteristics. And again, then this one resolved itself and it sort of went on.
Spotify users experienced disruption for a couple of hours on April the 16th. What happened here, Mike?
What happened here was a degradation. So in this case, we saw some of the functionality not being available. You could actually reach the front end. In some cases, you could actually load and you could log on. Some people actually couldn't log on, but I could get to the service itself. And this was impacting sort of the mobile client as well as the desktop client. When I say I could actually reach that service, what happened then was then if you're actually trying to pull down a playlist or you're doing a search, the screen would actually come back as blank. Or even if you had something downloaded, and you went to retrieve the information in the back end, i.e. to play a song or to play a podcast, what actually happened was it just failed to return the information itself. So coming back to looking at the commonality or going through this iteration of steps, we can actually look at the network performance and we can say there is no coinciding network issues that could attribute to that. Again, we're talking about from a global perspective, this impacted everybody. So what we're really starting to do is narrow that down and say we're looking at an application side itself. What we're then looking for is some sort of service or some sort of signal coming back. In some cases, we actually saw what was called an HTTP 504, which is a gateway timeout error. And then we also saw the 502's bad gateways error occurring through this issue. When we look at these, remember these are server-side issues. So we're reaching the front end. If we're thinking about something like Spotify, from an application perspective, it's a streaming service. So although we can actually sort of pre-fetch some of the data and we can put it around to the local where our users are, when you start to do the searches, you're going to go to that back end or commonality where we need to go to the source information. We can't effectively preload everything that everybody might want on a whim there. So what that tells us is when the front end service or the proxy or the CDN is actually trying to retrieve the information, it's getting either a timeout or it's actually getting this bad gateway. I don't know how to get to that part. So that tells us then we're effectively looking at this back end service issue. Now, where it is beyond that point, because if we're thinking back to the SAP issue, so actually going further, you'd have actually had to have some sort of transaction test to look to understand what was going on when you're trying to pull that information down. But again, because we're doing the dynamic ones, a repeat process is a harder thing to do. So what you want to do is really just narrow it down to the fault domain itself. We say it's not on the client side. We know it's impacting across all platforms. We know the network's actually good. We're seeing these errors. It's in the back-end services. Now, if I put that back onto my enterprise application, you know, rather than a streaming service or something like that, what I've done is I've identified where the issue is or where the fault domain is, And I now know effectively who's responsible for that. And I can know what process I need to put in place or what mitigation I actually need to take to get my users back online or back operating again.
Spotify put out statements during the incident clarifying that it wasn't a security breach as reported in some places. Does that tally with what Thousand Eyes saw?
It does from what we saw from a network perspective. So I should probably qualify that. So some of the sort of security breaches we're not necessarily going to be able to see. What we're looking at from a Thousand Eyes perspective is the effects of something like that. So it could be that a service goes offline, or it could be in the case of like a DDoS attack, you'd see excessive loss rate occurring. So you'd see this increase in that. So we saw none of those characteristics or symptoms that would indicate that either of those types of things had taken place. Again, which sort of comes in line with what they were saying.
On April the 7th, Vanguard customers in the UK were unable to access their accounts for a period. What did you see here, Mike?
So what we actually saw, again, was his ability to connect to the service or the site itself. So you could actually get there from a network perspective. It was just, again, when you tried to transact or pull down specific information. Interestingly enough, when looking at statements from Vanguard, they actually said that this didn't impact the mobile client. Now, when we think about the difference between a mobile or a browser-based connectivity, we're reaching the service itself, but we might be doing different transactions. Some mobile clients have different functionalities in terms of what you can and cannot do on the system itself. What this allows us to do is to confirm effectively again that the network connectivity is fine. We can actually reach a network connectivity, and it's just specific services in the back end which aren't available. Now, this could have been caused to a number of things. It could have been sort of a load related. It could have been due to some maintenance update or some sort of change. Nothing sort of really forthcoming at the moment in terms of what actually was the cause of it, except that we can say it was within the back-end services itself.
In the financial services space, sometimes outages are caused by external events that prompt users to log onto the platform at the same time, overwhelming the system. And this can happen in other industries as well. What should companies do to help maintain service performance, even amidst an unexpected flood of traffic?
So this isn't just restricted to financial systems. Any service or any system itself could be impacted by some sort of external event or external trigger by it. It could be a storm or some other event that's actually triggered some sort of action within that application. So if we have situations such as a year end, for example, we know that's coming and we can plan for that. We can scale the servers, we can start to build the systems up. There might be still things in that back end that you can't actually cater for, but if something happens externally that's not expected, it can trigger this domino effect that highlights a bottleneck which wouldn't otherwise have been visible. What happens in those situations is you cannot plan for every occurrence that's going to take place. So what you do is you need to better understand the components within my system and then be able to differentiate exactly what's going on. So even, for example, is this a genuine load? Or is this that we're under some sort of DDoS attack? Because each one's going to have some sort of different action. In the case of just a general load, because some external events actually triggered everybody to want to look at this service or utilize this service, then what I could actually do at that point is I can spin up other instances in the back end. We have this elastic scalability for some areas there. It may be the load balances. It may be actually distributing to another workload, but those can take place. Whereas if it's a load that's caused by something unexpected because it happens then to be a DDoS attack, I need to take other action. Obviously, a lot of services will have DDoS mitigation in place in front of them, and certainly all the financial ones typically have DDoS mitigation in place. But it's understanding the characteristics to determine what is real, what is not, and what action, what process I need to take.
Thanks for that deep dive into the outages, Mike. And now let's turn to the overall outage trends. What have we seen in recent weeks?
So over the last period, we saw that downward trend. Now we actually saw a slight reversal of that. Now the numbers themselves, what we actually saw in the first week, so April the 7th to the 13th, we saw a 38% increase where numbers actually rose from 404 to 559. But however, then what we saw was this return to this downward trend. So in the week of April the 14th to the 20th, the outages fell from 559 to 309. So it's a 45% decrease compared to that previous week. This was actually sort of mirrored within the US. So initially we saw that increase where we saw from 150 to 212, which is a 41% rise compared to that previous week. But again, like the global trend, the US outages then experienced a decrease in that second week. So during the week of April 14th to 20th, the outages dropped from 212 to 69. So this was a 68% decrease. Now, if we actually look at that and take those numbers over that whole period to see how many of those were US-centric, so from the April the 7th to the April the 20th, there's only 32% of all these network outages which occur within the US. So the previous period, we saw 41%. So that was March 17th to April the 6th. So we saw this drop down. So this 32% figure is a departure from the long-running trend where we've seen sort of at least 40% of all outages being accounted for in the US.
What do you put that big drop in the second period down to?
Put it down to time of year, really. So if we actually think about it, there's an awful lot of holidays going on. There's sort of spring breaks occurring. There was the Easter long weekend in other countries as well. So what typically happens over this period of time is we see a drop off in not the outages that occur because of sort of automated responses or issues that occur in there, but the ones which are a result of maintenance or engineering type of work.
And that's our show. Please give us a follow and leave us a review on your favourite podcast platform. We really appreciate it. And not only does this ensure you're in the know when a new episode is published, it also helps us to shape the show for you. You can follow us on LinkedIn or X at Thousand Eyes, or send questions or feedback to internetreport@thousandeyes.com. Until next time, goodbye.